Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are here, blessed to be doing radio for almost 6 years now. Yeah, it's cannot believe that. It's just amazing. And last week we started in Acts 9.
Yay!
Saul's conversion, Tara's story, the Bible from her Bible study, Tell It Well. And you can get it online. It's amazing. It's life-changing. And she just left us with a couple questions that were pretty profound.
Yeah. What are the questions we need to ask Jesus? Do you remember, Sabrina?
Yes. Who are you? And what must I do?
What must I do?
What must I do, Father?
Okay. So here we have, let's just recap real quick. Saul, he is bent on Damascus to annihilate the believers in Damascus. See, what happened is Saul was on his journey there. Well, while he was in Jerusalem, word had gotten back to Jerusalem that the Christians were building up a really good reputation in Damascus, okay? And the Jews had just established their reputation there. And so if the Christians are going in and starting to make inroads with the people, it's going to destroy the reputation that they had worked so hard to build up for the Jewish religious leaders. So Saul went and got permission so that he could just eliminate the threat, is essentially what he's going to go do. And we talked about the fact that he's just so fast and furious. He's like a freight train. It requires a lot to make him stop. And God used his son and the light to stop him. And this is the reason why he is able to say he's an apostle, why we can call mm-hmm. him an apostle, because he has physically seen the Lord. Now, his sight was so bright that he lost his sight for 3 days, which just blows my mind. And he is there, and this journey was not a short journey. And most likely the caravan, the commentator said, it's not like you and I when we go travel. Like if Sabrina and I were driving somewhere, Sabrina, Tanya, and I, one time we went to a writer's conference, and I think we talked the whole 9.5 hours straight there and then straight back and then the whole time while we were there. They said that most likely this wasn't the case. This journey was about 140 to 175 miles.
Walking.
Saul, being a religious leader, was required to keep himself socially clean. And most likely the people that were traveling with him were people there to take care of him. So they wouldn't have been people that necessarily would have been people he would have been having, you know, friendly conversation with. They said they would have been like servants or something.
Okay.
And so a pretty long trip to be thinking on a lot of things as he's traveling. I mean, 5 to 7 days walking.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Well, you contemplate everything when you're by yourself.
Yeah. A good time for mm-hmm. God to grasp us. And I love that you caught that, Sabrina, because that's the point I'm trying to hit. God had to get him when he was removed from the norm, the distraction of a lot of people. And, you know, just sometimes we really have to get out of our circumstances before God can really catch us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what had to happen with Saul. Saul was, he was everything that you could imagine as a religious leader to be. He was known in their culture. So very well known, mm-hmm. Raised in Tarsus, a Roman citizen, known for his Jewish theology. I mean, like he could argue with the best of the best. Not only that, he knew the secular trade. He had a secular trade that he knew how to work and did it well. And he was known for being zealous. He's like a leader's leader kind of person.
Yeah, passionate.
Exactly. And in this little space on this little road to Damascus would have been rugged terrain. He comes into the light. I mean, it's huge. And when he asked the question, Sabrina had brought up something at the end of last time, and I really want us to sit here for a second. Saul said, Lord, who are you, Lord? And so we were kind of dialoguing on that for a second, and Sabrina and I were talking in between the recordings. When Scripture uses L with lowercase O-R-D, that is the equivalent to as a master, as in a slave to a master. But when Scripture uses L, capital O, capital R, capital D, That is, Lord, as in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he did not recognize him as Lord, because that's not what we're given in the scripture. It shows us that he knows that he is someone he needs to be under in authority, but he didn't recognize him as the Lord. And that's why he asked the question, who are you? So often when someone is confronted with Christ, they don't ask the right questions. Think about it. What's the typical question somebody might ask somebody in the Lord? It's why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whereas if we ask who you are and what must I do, that greatly changes the view of the circumstances.
Because you're coming from a surrendered almost.
Yeah.
Like, or desiring to surrender rather than an argumentative state. Like, why me?
Right. Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You nailed that. That's good, Sabrina. And so as he asks them that, then Jesus confronts him and he says, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now, I want to point out something that in the Amplified and in the King James Version, the translations of this particular chapter, there's a phrase that is used that's not used in NIV, Message, or other translations. In the King James, Jesus says, why do you kick me in the goads? I'm going to actually, Sabrina, I want to pass you this because I want you to read it here. Would you read for us verses 4 through, 6 in the King James translation right there.
4 through 6?
Mm-hmm.
And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thouest me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to get kick against the pricks.
Okay, the pricks, and then other translations use the word goads. Have you heard that?
Mm-mm. I've heard goads. I've never heard pricks.
Okay, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And when I explain it, you'll totally get it. Back then, when the shepherd would take his flock out, he would have a long stick that would be sharpened at the end. And he would keep stubborn oxen in line by poking them to get them to walk in the line. But every once in a while, an ox would get so stubborn that it would push against the goad or the prick, to the point where it would physically injure itself. It's not because the shepherder is doing it, but because it's just stubborn and it wants its way. And it's like, no. And it would kick, move itself against it and cause itself harm. And so what Jesus was saying to him is that the road you're bent on, what you are doing, it's hurting you. Mm. It is hurting you. You know, you've got to stop because you're going to destroy yourself.
Mm.
That is what the phrase was. And the reason why it's not in the other translations is they say it's not in the original Greek manuscript. It came in later, that phrase. And so it's not referenced. But it is, Sabrina, would you open up for us and read Ecclesiastes 12:11? And because there is actually a reference to this in Ecclesiastes about how a wise man will respond. And so let's look at that, because it's a really good reference that connects with this passage as well. And Jesus is trying to show Saul, you're hurting yourself. You think that you're doing good by helping, by going and destroying the Christians, but you're not. You're actually hurting yourself. You're not focused on what you need to be focused in on. And you have it? Ecclesiastes running from you?
It is. There's some days where you're just like, I know exactly where everything is. Why is it not finding it?
Well, you know what? Sometimes when I have to find something, it's never there. It's really, especially if I'm up front.
It's like the Lord just wants me in the Psalms.
Is that what you're studying?
That's where I keep, and that's where I keep, my Bible keeps going to.
Are you studying this, aren't you in Corinthians at church?
Yes, I am.
You are? I have it written down on that piece of paper. Do you see where it says Ecclesiastes 12:11?
The words of the wise are like
goads.
They're collected, saying like firmly embedded nails. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails.
Okay. When a house is built, they embed the nails. It causes the foundation to be firm. Okay. When wise words poke at us, if we're willing to allow them to do the teaching and help us to walk the straight line, then it's like the firm foundation of a house that's well established because it's set together properly with the nails.
If we allow.
If we allow. Is that huge?
That's it. Everything is a choice.
It is, isn't it?
Everything is a choice.
It's crazy the things that we encounter. And that heart of obedience when we feel that movement of God. Mm-hmm. I asked Grant, and he said it would be okay for me to share. My son is 12 years old. He's almost 13, or no, he just turned 12. Was he 12, almost 12 and a half? And how old are you? I always mess up his age. And for the longest time, well, when he was really little, let me start there. When he was really little, he used to tell us he would be a preacher someday. And anybody who listened to him would say he's going to be a preacher someday. But then his heart started moving towards science, and he loves science. Yes. He loves problem solving, numbers, scientific research, just loves, loves, loves. Well, yesterday at school, something happened. And when I dropped off my daughter, Michaela, to ballet, Grant jumped from the back seat into the front seat. Normally, he'll just go ahead and stay in the back seat. He's now of age where he can sit up front. And he jumped up in the front seat, and I thought, he must have something he really needs to share. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to hear a fun story from school. And he said, Mom, today when I was sitting in class, I was just kind of sitting there, and then all of a sudden I had this feeling, I'm supposed to be a pastor. And, I mean, it took me for a moment. I kind of froze, and I was like, God, I don't know what to say. I don't want to say something that's going to, put pressure on him, but I also don't want to say something that, you know, would dishearten him. And I said, well, Grant, that's wonderful. You know, that's really good. Can you tell me about it? What happened? You know, and he goes, well, wasn't that I heard God in a big audible voice or anything like that? And he goes, I was just kind of sitting there and just thinking through things, you know, and all of a sudden I just had this feeling, I'm supposed to be a pastor. And you know, totally from left field kind of thing. And I said, well, Grant, I think that's wonderful, and I support you. I support you in whatever you do. And then I began to do whatever I could to teach him. And he had his face of, this is really serious kind of face, you know. And as I was preparing for this lesson today, I thought, Grant received a prick in the goad. God was showing him the path that he's unfolding for him. Mm-hmm. And from this point forward, he now has a choice to make whether or not he'll continue following that path. And so, you know, do we really listen when that gentle nudges? Because for him, that was a gentle nudge. He's not a person that's bent on doing something wild or anything. He has a very obedient heart. So it was a gentle nudge. He's like, I was just sitting there and I have this feeling. And he couldn't let go. This morning he's planning. He told us, you know, I feel like it's supposed to be in a small church in a small city. You know, I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, I'm just listening. We'll see what unfolds in his life.
But he's so cute. I can just see this all transposing.
You're so adorable.
So adorable. Praise God. I'm excited.
Just listening to our little people. Mm-hmm. But what it is that God speaks to us in gentleness when we're walking in obedience. But Saul was not walking in obedience, and it had to come in an extreme way. And so his literally was so extreme that scripture describes it as if he had scales on his eyes. A lot of stuff had to fall away for him in order to follow the path that God had for him. But for a person who's walking in obedience, are you or am I in tune enough that when we feel that gentle nudge or that pricking from the Lord's goad, are we going to be willing to walk in obedience and say, what must I do? Huge, huge factor. And so then we have to ask ourselves, okay, when I am in a when I'm moving towards something, am I really moving towards it? Is that something that I'm pressing towards, drawing me towards God, or is it taking me from God? Because if I am on the path that will stay safely where the pricks or the goads are. I won't get injured. I will, you know, I'll be staying in this straight, narrow kind of thing. But if I am pushing towards something that's not within God's will, it will bring me harm. And that's what Jesus was telling Saul. So we want to now look and see, because there's another person who hears from God. And so here we have Saul, who gets guided by his buds, and they take him to the city and to the road called Straight. And what I want you to, they said in Damascus, there was a very long, long road that was kind of like a colonnade, a road just straight as you could possibly imagine. And they believed theologically that this was the road that they were referring to. And there's historical tradition that says that the place that Saul was baptized was the water fountain in the city. And that if you go, that there is a sign up, even I think today they say that this was the fountain that Saul was baptized in. Because when he went out, he just went out to the first body of water he could find on the street called Straight. And so he went in and was baptized in it. And so Ananias was in doing his business. Now, Ananias, when the Lord spoke to him, what was his response? Sabrina?
Well, he's like, yes, Lord, here I am. You know, like, he's obedient. He got the gentle nudge.
He did get the gentle nudge.
Because he's already loving him anyways.
That's exactly right. And did he have to ask who he was?
No.
No, he didn't. This is a person who's accustomed to having a conversation with God.
Right.
Very clearly. Okay, here I am, God.
Yeah.
But was he afraid to tell God when he was afraid?
Was he afraid to tell God when he was afraid?
Yeah. What was his response when he found out it was Saul? Was he afraid?
Yes.
He told God his fears.
He told God his fears because he knew of his reputation.
Yeah.
Saul had a very unfortunate reputation.
Carried long before.
Which would kill somebody like him.
Completely. Yeah. And I always wonder, okay, so Saul's practically burning his way to get there. Did somebody run ahead to go warn them that Saul's on his way? Because Ananias seemed to know that he was coming. It's like, they had to have had a really fast runner that just took off, you know? You got to get to
Forrest. Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Run, Forrest, run. Well, we want you to come back next week because we're going to start looking at what did Ananias's obedience look like?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we have that same kind of obedience when we walk forward, when we hear a gentle nudge from God? Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.